Hello, everyone. Y'all come on in. Come on in. We're in today. I gotta fix my seat. It feels like I'm in a freaking, like, no, I'm too low. Like I'm sitting on the ground. All right. Let me get a couple of things cleared up and get my screens turned on where I can see. And we are going to start today with Samantha. Well, y'all coming in hot today. Look at all these ladies with their hands raised. They're like, pick me, ready to go. So I love seeing that. That's amazing. All right, Samantha, let's jump in. How
Hi,
can I
good
help you?
morning. I'm always
Morning.
thinking if I don't raise my hand right away, I might not get in at all. So this
Yeah,
works.
you got in early. It was like it was the first hand I saw today.
Oh, very nice. I kind of wrote some notes on what I'm thinking, so I keep it concise, but I've been working on my hunger and enough signals, and I'm noticing just something I could use some help with. I feel like when I eat enough to be satisfied for the length of time that we're talking about, like 4 to 6 hours, and not just shutting off hunger, it feels like way too much food if my goal is to lose weight. And like this past Friday, I went out to lunch with a friend and I ordered this panini. It had ham and apple and brie and some like preserves on it. And I ate all of it because I was hungry. And I normally would label that as just like, that was way too much food. That's just an off day. I'll just start over tomorrow. But I was really paying attention that afternoon, and I was feeling like I didn't feel overfull. I didn't feel sluggish. I didn't feel like I felt good, and it actually kept me through. I always have to snack in the afternoon, and it kept me through till dinner, like 6 or 7 hours. I think my challenge is that I've never lost weight eating this way, or at least I've actually never lost weight not being hungry most of the time, like or hungry pretty much every day. So,
Yeah, and it didn't work. I want you to remind yourself you wouldn't have joined No BS if all of that had worked so well. You wouldn't be coming here like, Corinne, I saw your picture on the internet and I decided to start donating you $59 a month. You got such a fabulous haircut. You're the one I want to give money to. Like, you're here for a reason. And in your mind, like, tell me how those diets actually didn't work. Because in your right now, you've got a construct in your mind. This won't work because in the past I've lost weight doing this, which is not true.
I don't think it will work. I know it would, like, I've been trying to do that again, and I have almost no tolerance for it anymore. I'm just
Right, but tell me,
like,
right, you're telling me kind of your attitude about it, but tell me like specifically if you had to diagnose why those diets actually didn't cause weight loss, because I think what happens in our brain is like, for me personally, I did Weight Watchers once and lost, I think, around 50 pounds. And I was cheating the system a lot. I was monkeying around. I'd have days of starvation right before I'd have to go weigh in. And then eventually, I just couldn't keep doing that. Like, you just have to think about how hard it is to be basically a thief, a burglar, a liar, a cheat. Like I was trying to be all of those to lose weight. And eventually I broke under the pressure. So I want you to really think about like whatever, most of us always have like this one method we try to go back to because it's in our head that it works. Why don't we pull apart that method and see it for what it really is instead of seeing it as like only the highlight reel you remember of the weight pounds that came off with it.
I may not be being clear because I don't want to go back to that.
It
And
doesn't
I've
matter
gotten
that
to
you
the
don't want
point.
to. I do understand that. The problem we've got to do in your mind is right now, that old diet is saying right now it's influencing, this won't work. It's like trying to convince you, even I know you don't want me, but I'm the one that works. And here's all the problems with this. Like, you can't eat paninis and expect to lose weight, ho. Like, it's like going through and saying, like, you mean eat to enough and feel good for 6 hours and have energy? That's a recipe for disaster.
I think what comes up a lot is just like there is something wrong with me because like I'll look at plans that you post or that the coaches post. I'm like, I would be so hungry eating that. So there must be, maybe I'm not eating the right things or I'm not like, I
But
just
what
feel
if
like.
I wrote down, like when I write down a sandwich, what is the difference between my sandwich? And most days I've got a sandwich on there. What's the difference between my sandwich and your sandwich?
I think I'm imagining it as this, the bread I probably have always eaten, the 70 calorie, like
Oh no.
little, like a little sandwich
Oh.
that you make at home. The
That's
kind
not the
that
way I
doesn't, like if
do
I
it.
make a sandwich at home too, I'm like, okay, I'm still hungry 90 minutes later. So I'm trying to get my head around, like, am I eating something wrong? Or is that real? Like, I guess there's almost like this disbelief that this is really okay to eat a whole fucking panini at lunch and be like, that felt good actually, and that tasted good. Like,
This is exactly why we've got to pull apart. In your mind, like you're saying, I don't want to go back to that, except you have a fear that that's what works and this won't. So if we don't dismantle the fear, if we don't like show, like we know you didn't like it. There's a difference between not liking something, but we actually need to show your brain, here were the actual flaws. Like in my mind, I remember the bad parts. Like I remember being hungry, but you would not even be tempted to compare this to that if somewhere in your brain is like, Samantha, that's the way. And what we've got to do is we got to show your brain, not the parts you don't like. We got to show your brain, dismantle its belief that 70 calorie bread is better than panini bread. And here's why 70 calorie bread always blew up in my face. That's what I want you to do. So go back to, is there any particular diet that has influence, or is it just a certain set of foods, or like what is it that's influencing you right now to be scared and doubtful of the process that we're trying to do?
I've been on a lot of diets, but I think the one that influences the most is Weight Watchers, because things like bread or peanut butter, things like that, were so high in points. Like, even if they were a similar calorie point as something else, or a calorie number as something else. And so that one, I think that's kind of the thing hovering over, like, how many points is in ciabatta versus, Nature's Own 70 calorie wheat, or like having some peanut butter in the morning has also been fueling me for the morning. And I'm like, it's that same sort of thing, but that's so many points. Like, I won't have any. It's kind of like this, even though I'm not on it, my brain's like, you won't have enough left for dinner. Like, you're gonna blow through all of them by breakfast and lunch.
So let me ask you this. How do points actually not work? Like we know that there are, I want to say this, about calories, points, all the things. They do work to an extent. And we're kind of doing the same thing in No BS. You're just eating a little bit less than what your body actually needs. I just don't have you eat a lot less. I have you eat a little bit less, and most like points and calorie diets, they have a more aggressive shaving of like how much you're going to eat. And I just feel like aggressive is really hard for women, and it's really hard on our bodies, and it's really hard when we're stressed, and it's really hard for all these things. So I want you to just think about points, like kind of go back there, and we know how it worked. It was a good way to know what you're doing. I know, like, one time when I was even losing weight, I hit a plateau. And for a few weeks, I counted calories because this was like earlier in my journey. And sometimes I have members here do it. I counted calories and I weighed and measured things because I really just didn't even, it'd been so long that I didn't even know what a portion size really was anymore. And so I did it for a few weeks. And then I let it go again, simply just to see, like, oh, okay, like I need to eat a little bit more. Because for me, that was what was happening. I was actually training a lot, and eating too little had stalled me out. And I actually needed to eat a little bit more because I had just started getting into triathlon at that point. And the other thing was, I didn't really know what a portion was. I mean, I just didn't. And I wanted to know. Like, I just wanted to see so that I could train my eyes to visually know how to serve myself food that would be like normal portion sizes. And then I could decide from there, do I need more Or is this meal, I actually could do a little less because I'm just not as hungry. It was really important to me to not be tethered to that stuff. Now, the benefits though are it can give you some guardrails. It can, for a lot of people, that's, a good thing for them when they're losing weight for a while. It can show you portion sizes. There's all kinds of good benefits that come along with it. But now what we want to see is what is the unintended negative consequences. So when you look back, what were the things that you would say, and this is why this program actually can't work for me? We're talking Weight Watchers, not no BS.
I think it's the, well, like what I've been running into now and why I've dropped it is because I'm hungry all the time. And every time I've done it, I can do it for a certain amount of time if I've got my wedding or a vacation or something. And then, I mean, I'll go all the way back up right after that.
So you can do it if your goal, when you have a goal, and when you don't really have a goal, you just don't want to be that, like most of us can suffer for a goal. But unless you always have a goal in front of you, there comes a point where it's like, okay, this diet requires suffering all the time, not just for a goal.
And it's, I guess, the goal piece, and also like we would, my husband and I would like sit every week, and it's like in my reminder still, I should take it out, but and figure out, because we order like HelloFresh for dinners, and we would have to figure out how many points. Like we couldn't just order something because it looked good, or order something because it was under 800 calories or whatever. We'd have to count out and put all the things in the point, and that just seemed like such a waste of time.
Okay, so it wasted a lot of your time. It didn't allow you to, it sounds like it doesn't allow you to enjoy food, which for weight loss in particular, it's really hard to lose weight if you can't enjoy yourself. Food is supposed to be enjoyed. It doesn't have to, like, you know how I say you don't have to have an orgasm in your mouth every meal. Just like on Friday night, I had some salads that JJ made me on Monday. And usually my salads last a long time. Not these. On Friday, I ate one and I was like, oh, this tastes like ass. And I had to throw the other two away. And I was like, well, I got to get rid of these. I was like, I can get through one meal like that, but I'm not spending the weekend eating this away. So it's, joy is an important part of being able to not only lose weight, but keep it off. What else? There's one big one I bet that happened.
Mean, part of it was just well, not that I'm not obsessing in some ways now, but the obsessing, like, and like you're talking about with the enjoyment, like if we were going out to dinner, it was constantly like trying to figure out what I'm like. I don't mean I wouldn't think about it ahead of time, but like there was an Italian restaurant we went to a couple months ago, and it was in a different city, and they had amazing stuff on there I wanted to try. But instead of just like trying it and to enough, it was just like, ah, fuck it, I'll just eat whatever. I'm gonna get all of it, and just like I'll start tomorrow, because there was just a very all or nothing aspect to it. And instead of enjoying the meal, I'm just like, or everything leading up to it is just trying to figure out, well, maybe I can get this, or maybe I can do this instead, or like it's exhausting.
Yeah. And then when you were exhausted, did you ever end up rebound eating?
like
Like you just
eating.
kind of said, like you would like go fuck it.
And that's
I
what's
think.
been happening with this, like if I normally, and I changed this on Friday, but normally, like having that whole sandwich, I'd be like, well, might as well eat more later, because it's that I already blew it. So it's actually hard for me to know if it would work, because I think a lot of times I'll think I've already blown it, and then fuck it, eat after that, instead of let me just see for a week, like if I just eat like this. So yes, rebound eating definitely happens.
I think the big one is it never, they never, like when you do calories and do things like that, you don't really understand why you're eating the way you're eating and why you eat, like for you, there's a distinct pattern of if I do it wrong, I might as well just, blow all four tires. If I get a flat, I'm gonna flatten all of them. And so I think the big missing piece is always for all of you is when it comes to our weight loss program, we are helping you think before you eat and think while you eat so that you are making amazing choices for yourself, so that you are your best friend through eating. That if you are eating for emotional reasons, it is like for us, it's like your overeating is a red flag that something deeper is going on and it needs nurturing and it needs care and it needs listening to. Whereas diets, traditional diets, they don't do that. If you don't follow the rules, that's a you problem. That's a lack of discipline. That is a lack of willpower. I mean, how many diets always tell us, try harder, just follow it. Oh, it's okay, you blew it. Just tomorrow, do better. It's like, well, if I could fucking do better, I would have been doing that now. So something is preventing my doing better. So if I address that, I don't just get weight loss, I get a better life. That's the key difference. That's how you're really going to lose weight, is by making sure that, when you're eating, I want you to enjoy a sandwich on ciabatta bread. And I don't want you eating later because you feel like you screwed up. I want you to be able to go those 6 or 7 hours because this was so fulfilling and it gave you so much energy that you're feeling really good. You don't have a reason to now snack because you're about ready to chew your arm off. You don't have a reason to blow it on a Friday night because you suffered all week and you just can't suffer anymore. That's the difference. So my next question for you was going to be, it sounds like you figured it out for yourself, though, is that you need to try it and see if you're wrong or I'm wrong. One of us is wrong. And if I had money and could place a wager, I would bet on me because I feel like I'm a guaranteed winner. I feel like, some like, what is that big scandal in the NBA right now? I'm like a prop bet. Like, I already know it works. And I'm like, well, I'm going to bet on her. Someone gave me the inside information. So I think you need to stick with it and you need to remind the part of you that's scared that, like, it's okay. I don't know if this is going to work because I haven't done it enough yet. But I know that sucks and that really doesn't work. Or I wouldn't even be here trying something else. And the good news, and I tell everybody, if you do it and for some reason it doesn't work, I have 100% faith that you could go right back to Weight Watchers. They will take your money and you can find you a goal and suffer. You know how to do that. You just don't want to.
Yeah, I think part of it's like this. I think when as you're talking and I'm also thinking about like, I might just be partially here for permission, like to, like, can I actually eat that? Like, that doesn't like, is there something wrong with me? Am I too hungry? Should I just be like, I guess there's just like a permission piece almost that there's been these rules for so long, like that this can't possibly be right that I can eat this and feel okay. Like, and it's, so there's just this,
It's new to you. That's why it feels so. We were talking about it yesterday. The weight loss winners from our summer challenge came in, and we had a full coaching day. And we talked a lot about anything that's new to you, your brain argues against it, even if it's good for you. Like it makes logical sense that this would work. We got success story after success story. I got over 300 people in the maintenance group right now. I had two of them here who had lost all kinds of weight. No, actually three. All of them had lost over 50 pounds. It does work, but your brain needs time to adjust to this. It's only used to thinking about it that way. It really you've trained it for a long time that if it's not hard, if you're enjoying yourself, you must be doing it wrong. And so many of us, when we do diets, We really do get into this loop of, well, if I'm enjoying food, I must be dieting wrong because I've never done it that way. I've only done it with obsession and restriction and stuff. So it's going to take your brain a minute to catch on. So the best thing that you can do is every single time I'm teaching this in next week's workshop, the holiday workshop. So make sure you watch it. It's going to be really good if you can come. If not, it'll be in replays. I've got a hair literally that is just in my fucking eyeball and it's driving me crazy. First thing you want to do is you just want to notice when you're what would you say the feeling is when you are like when you were eating your panini and you were enjoying it, but you had that little going on in the background. What would you say you were feeling? Was it nervousness? Was it doubt? Was it anxiousness? Do you have an idea of like when you're eating and you think you're doing it wrong? Do you know what you feel?
Like, it's a little bit the opposite. Like, I'm kind of excited because then I'm giving myself permission that maybe I can have, again, like, start it tomorrow or start over Monday or something like that. And that's where it was surprising to me because I've always just immediately labeled it that, like, well, this is off plan, basically. And as I went through the afternoon, it was this, I actually don't feel stuffed. Like, it's kind of this, maybe this is what enough feels like. So part of it, I think, is
Let's go
there's some
back though
excitement,
to
but
when
there's
you're,
also,
or well, go ahead. What was that? There's also
like,
some what.
I don't know if disappointment's the right word, but ashamed of myself or
Okay.
disappointed in myself.
Shame. Shame around what you're eating. When you were getting ready to order the panini, there was probably some excitement that you were going to get the panini, but was there an underlying current of anything that was just like nervous, not sure if I should do this, this is bad. Was any of that going on?
I would say earlier in the day when I'm looking at the menu and trying to figure out, well, maybe I, because maybe I should, they had salads, like maybe I could go with a salad or maybe, and
So
none of them.
confusion might be one of the things that comes up for
Yeah.
you. Okay. So
Oh,
this
for
is what you
sure.
want to do.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to identify three different things. One is when I am going to rewire my brain around what I think, the only way to do this is I've got to know how does it look when I am in my old mindset. So it could be I would look ahead at a menu and I'm looking at salads versus what I really want. So that would be like an action. It would be you just want to come up with like a, it doesn't have to be an exhaustive list. You just want to think through. I know I'm in the energy of wanting to fuck it eat. I'm in the energy of thinking this won't work. I'm in the energy of fear that I'm doing something wrong. Like when I'm doing these things, the part that I was coming and trying to get you to see, and you said them beautifully is confusion is a high sign for you. Excitement is another high sign for you after you've ate, because that means in your mind, what's really going on is I did the wrong thing. My brain doesn't want to be disappointed, so it's going to plan for a perfect tomorrow. So I now get to feel happy. And then that's going to let me have a green pass to eat the rest of the day, too. So you want to look for excitement where you feel like it's misplaced. You want to look for maybe fear. Like for me, when I first started getting comfortable with eating anything, there was always a little sense of like, oh God. And I could feel some fear, like I was going to be eating wrong. You also said there's some shame, like when I decide I'm going to eat something I really want, there's like some shame that comes over me as if this is a bad thing to do. So we want to get good at also like when I'm feeling this way, now I know what's really going on. And then the other place we can look for is when I think these things, should I or shouldn't I? Tomorrow I'll do better. That's also my high signs that something's going on. Okay. So we want to always be able to identify those things. Then this is what we do when they happen. You can put your hand over your heart, and if you don't want to, I do it a lot. Like I just put my hand over my heart very casually, and I don't say things out loud a lot, but people in my real life catch me doing this all the time, and they know I'm calming myself down, or they know I'm reprogramming my brain because this is my signal. So you put your hand on your heart and you say, I notice that I am feeling, thinking, or doing whatever. And we're just like noticed what we're doing and we're going to narrate it. I'm thinking, this is the clear thing for you. I'm thinking I'm doing something wrong. I'm thinking I can start over tomorrow. I'm overthinking a salad versus a sandwich. All because I have a lot of diet history that I'm untangling right now. That's going to like center you and focus you on what's really going on for you. So we just need to notice things. We narrate it to calm ourselves down in the moment. And what happens next is we get a choice. When we don't do that piece, we often don't get a choice. We just literally go the path we always go down. If we don't interrupt in one of those three places, then our brain is like, I just need to complete your habit loop. Like when you say we'll do better tomorrow, in order to finish the habit loop, I need you to eat more food. And so it's going to just do that. If we say, I notice I'm promising to do better tomorrow, I'm unwinding my diet stuff, our brain naturally now has to give us a choice because it wants to now say, well, are we going to eat more or are we not? Because we've changed the habit pattern. So our brain has to think differently. It's like forcing your brain into a new situation where it's got to think differently. And then the last piece, and you might not know need any of this. Well, there's actually two more steps, but I'm going to tell all of you, if you get really good at noticing, a lot of times that cleans a lot of shit up. If you just notice when something's happening, you're like, oh, okay, that's my old pattern. Some of us have to narrate it because our old pattern triggers shame or triggers a judgment. And when we go into the narration phase, that alleviates that piece. So for some of us, going into narration really helps. And for a lot of you, that's going to take care of everything. The third piece is what we call compassion. If your brain likes to come in like the Kool-Aid man busting through a wall while you're over here narrating and it wants to say, you shouldn't have to be doing this. Like, this is stupid. Like it always like our brains love to have like judgment when we do something new because they just don't want to do anything new. That's when we have compassion and we just say, I am here for this. This is going to take a while. I don't love this part and that is okay. But this is part of me changing. A lot of us, when we do the compassion piece, that is enough to change everything. And then for some of us, after compassion, we have to actually follow through. We have to do the practice piece. Those other steps, we naturally go to the practice. We don't have to like make ourselves practice. Some people are going to have to say to themselves after compassion, and I am willing to do this new thing, even though it scares the shit out of me. Like, we'll use an example. I am willing to give Corinne a week of eating the way I think she intends this program, even though it scares the shit out of me, even though it's bringing up all my diet mentality. And Corinne told me, and I'm fixing to tell you, that is exactly the way it's supposed to work. Every ounce of diet mentality is supposed to come up because we can't erase it. We can't rewire it. We can't change it unless we bring it up and talk to it. It's the only way through. So,
Yeah.
what do you think when I say all that?
It's interesting when you phrase it as I'm going to do this the way I think Corinne intends this program, because it may I recognize, like, as you say that out loud, like, I think I've had a lot of filters and diet filters I've applied to what you're saying. I've been here a couple of years, but I've been dieting, I've been Franken dieting, or like doing I'm going to listen to everything that Nobius has, but I'm going to do Weight Watchers at the same time. And so I think I even put that filter on this. Like, she can't possibly mean I can have a whole sandwich. Like, that's not what she means. Or like, enough really means still, a certain amount of suffering. And I have to look at that too, because I think that's a filter just from how many decades of dieting that have just inadvertently inserted here and thought, because I think that's not how I think it was intended. I know that there's the enough and hunger signals, and but I think that there was a piece that was like, yeah, but there's some suffering, like in the amount of food you can eat, or how hungry you have to be, or like that kind of thing.
Do you know where the suffering in Nobius comes from? To lose weight, there is a tremendous amount of suffering that has to happen. But it is never physical suffering. That's where diets get it wrong. They have us physically suffering to lose weight. The suffering that I'm putting y'all through is the suffering of becoming happy and free. It is many of you, it will always sound completely illogical when I say this out loud, but then when you think about it, it's very logical. To become happy, for you to be happy, you have to go through the part where you have to reassure yourself that all of your fears are unwarranted. Fear is one of those crazy feelings that we hang on to with our claws. We don't want to let it go because for so long, it's what got us to where we are. Like, you're so wanting to go, like, I know you say you don't want to, but there's a part of you that probably wants to go back to doing it the way you did because, like, well, I'm so afraid this won't work. That I'm already entertaining the idea that that worked over this. And that is the fear saying, oh my God, you're risking weight loss by trusting this person. That's the suffering. This is what I put y'all through. It's the emotional suffering that comes. It's the emotional suffering of trusting, of believing when you have no shred of evidence you should believe. It is the suffering of being compassionate when you feel so undeserving. Just like somebody, I think it was Susan, she typed in the chat, like, how do you be compassionate to yourself when you don't feel worthy of compassion? It is suffering emotionally to actually be nice to yourself when all you've ever done is be mean. So I always figure if we're going to suffer, we're going to suffer where on the other side is a fuck ton of happiness. Over here, physical suffering and starving a body eradicates bone, it eradicates muscle, it eradicates your brain tissue. It steals from your self-worth because you're not working on anything other than the size of your waist. Like that suffering on the other side has so many bad things on it. And you could lose weight that way. But you don't change as a person. You don't have freedom with food. You are stuck in a tiny, hungry box. And over here, it's expansive. It's like a fucking field of daisies you can run through. Butt naked if you want to. And that's what's on the other side over here. So if we're going to suffer to get someplace, let's suffer in the right ways. I would much rather see all of you suffering by, like, for you especially. I want you to enjoy food again. You've probably, for many of us, the reason why it's so scary for us to enjoy food is we only know how to enjoy food when we're emotionally eating it. We've never enjoyed food to lose weight. We've never enjoyed food eating like a normal person. We've only experienced joy with food when we've had a bad day, when we think we fucked up, when we think we're a loser, when we are tired, when we're overworked. That's the only way we've ever experienced joy with food. But now I want to teach y'all how to enjoy food because it's like a human right to be able to enjoy your food. Okay? So give me a couple of weeks. You're going to need more than one. How long? Let me ask you, how long are you willing to give me to just see if it works? Let's put a time box on it.
This could be really fitting timing wise because we are going to Hawaii for 2 weeks at the end of this week. And for me, travel has always meant it's been on or off. Basically, I'm on plan, I'm off plan. But I think it could actually be a really good opportunity to, I know travel, like you get, don't step on the scale right when I get back and all of that, but I think it could be a really good opportunity to practice how to or enjoy what I'm getting. Like, this is food I would not normally get. Enjoy it, eat to enough, and
I'm going to
see
bet
how
you
I feel.
money that you lose weight when you come back from Hawaii. I would be willing to bet you money. I'll bet you a month of membership. If you don't lose weight in Hawaii doing it my way, but this is what you got to do, Samantha. You got to, whenever you feel like you're doing wrong, you got to be there for yourself. You can need whatever you want. But I want you to really do it the no BS way. Eat when you're hungry. Now, if y'all are like going on excursions and you need to eat early and you're not hungry yet, that's still eating when you're hungry. That's not breaking the rule, okay? Now, I want you to eat the things you want, but I want you to be very mindful when you're eating. I want you to stop it enough. If you can plan your day, great. If you can't, I don't even give a shit. A lot of times when I travel, there are certain meals that are kind of boring. We're just going to breakfast. I don't really care if I get the orgasm in my mouth. So I just plan those things. And then ones that where I can't plan, I'm just like, I'm going to be really mindful. But I want you doing this part where you practice reminding yourself you're doing nothing wrong. You're getting used to this. And you even reassure yourself, Corinne thinks I can actually lose weight on this vacation, and I don't even have to be miserable to do it. I actually can enjoy it. And the only other thing to make the bet solid, you cannot fuck it eat. Now, fuck it eating won't work. But if you gave yourself complete permission that entire trip and you worked harder on de-stressing yourself around food versus stressing around food, it would be hard for me to believe that you don't come back and lose weight. Now, how far of a flight is it from Hawaii to where you live?
A long time. We're actually staying over on the layover city so that we don't have to be on the plane that long, but it's
Okay.
a good 13 hours, something like that. We're in North Carolina,
Holy
so
shit.
yeah.
Okay. So do not weigh in until you've been back for 5 days. You're gonna, with all that airline, I'm not worried about fat. I don't know if you're like me, but the older I get, the more I swell. Like Chris and I, we are always shocked when we go to Vegas. The first day we have cankles. I'm always like, oh my God. Like the water just like flows straight to my calves and ankles. And it takes me like a couple of days there. It takes me a couple of days on the way home, but that's a 3.5 hour flight and I get cankles. So, 5 days when you get back, you get to weigh in. And I don't want you, even those 5 days, I don't want you punishing yourself or anything. I mean, I want it to be an experiment of freedom for you. And if you do not lose a little weight, I swear to God, right into customer service, I will refund you your money for the month simply for trying. Her name is Samantha Morse. I'm writing it down. All right. Is it a deal?
All right. Yes.
Yeah. Now, remember, you're going to have to de-stress yourself because I'm asking you to basically go to Hawaii and stress out hard. Yeah. You just wait. When you're sitting there eating whatever they eat in Hawaii, because I've never been, you're going to be like, oh. It's so much easier to just eat whatever you want and fuck it, eat and start over when you go home. You know, it's not easy eating whatever you want on vacation and reminding yourself you're safe. That's not easy.
Love it.
And when y'all ask me about suffering, That's suffering. But I promise you, when you come back, you'll be so proud of yourself. You will have changed. You will feel different. It can really unlock something for you, okay?
Okay. All
All right, Samantha, you got your homework.
right.
Go on vacation and eat good food.
Will do.
All
Thank you,
right,
Corinne.
bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't know if y'all saw that, but she has beautiful hair. Beautiful. All right, I gotta pull up my participants. Amy Smith. I magnified my screen. I know that hair is fire, isn't it? I was like, gosh, she's got some pretty fucking hair. I promise all of you, go on vacation and do what I just gave her as homework. I promise you, it's harder than it sounds. It's so much easy. Y'all don't think this, but it's so much easier to go on vacation and fuck it, eat and just not think, gain some weight, and then you come home, then you spend like 3 weeks feeling like an asshole. And I'm like, well, just sit there and do this work while you are on vacation. It's harder than it sounds, but it's very rewarding. All right, what are we coaching on? Oh, by the way, I just want to make sure everybody knows we did win yesterday, but I'm using my orange nails. I had to go walking this morning. Also, it's blackout week. I'm a black top on. We're doing blackout for the Oklahoma game. All right, what are
I'm
we
the
coaching
other
on?
orange. I'm the brown. So yeah, we're
That's all
not.
right. That's all
Yeah,
right.
but it's still.
I love women who love sports. I'm just like, I never played them, but I was meant to watch them.
Yeah, we're a football family. So everything you said is sort of why I was coming here, but I wrote in to ask coaches yesterday, and while I was writing it, I thought this is why I need to get on here and get coached. I'm in here 5 years. I put 20 pounds on. It's been 2 years. It's been life. And I get all of that. It was like I had a daughter-in-law that didn't talk to me. She wouldn't let me see my grandkids. My husband had mental health issues. My mom got sick and passed away. I have compassion for that.
Good.
Everything is better, and that's where my problem is now because I'm still eating. And so like I was doing the candy challenge, and like there all the thoughts were coming up, and I'm hearing myself when the thought that came up when I wrote in to ask coaches was it should be easier now because life isn't
Why
easier.
would it be easier now that you've had 2 years of forming the habit of overeating? Why should now be easy? I feel like it should be a lot harder now.
It is harder now, and
Yeah,
that's
like to
where
me, that would make more sense than like, oh, now that all this stuff's over, it should just be easy. You formed habits around your eating. The unintended consequence of emotionally eating to get us through really tough periods of our life, and I'm really glad you have compassion for that because all of us have tough periods, and sometimes if we don't feel like we can work through it with someone, we go back to our eating because it does work. It will get you through tough periods. Now, while that's happening, though, your brain isn't just emotionally eating, it's now forming habit patterns around the eating you're doing. So, if let's say, would you say the overeat you need to work on the most?
My two things right now are that I'm snacking more at night and I'm also overeating at dinner. So those are my two things.
Okay, which one do you think you should just be able to snap your fingers and it just go because life is good right now?
Snacking at night.
Okay.
In the kitchen.
And did you snack through your, yeah, you have an overeating, you have a nighttime snacking habit that is now 2 years ingrained.
Okay.
So we have to go back. And we got to one, figure out, are you still emotionally eating for those for some reason? If not, Then we just have to break the habit, which means you've got a few days of not eating at night and sitting there going, I notice I really want to eat. My brain is throwing a hissy fit. It really wants it. And that's because I've got to break the habit. My brain thinks something's wrong because I'm not eating. It's gotten so used to eating at night and it thinks that it's taking care of me. So let's do this. Let me ask you a question. Let me make this note. Taking care of me. If you had to guess, if there was an emotional reason, do you think there's any emotional reason for eating at night?
The dynamic is changing with my husband right now, because he couldn't make decisions and I had to take control. And I think it's part of that is giving up control and now letting him be able to make decisions as he's getting better. And I have decision fatigue. It's like I know that that's there because like that's why I plan because I did not want to have to make those decisions. What like it took us an hour and a half one night to decide where we were going to get dinner because I would not make a decision and he couldn't. So now he's offering things and I'm fighting that control thing, I think a little bit.
Why are you afraid to let him make the decisions now?
I think because he wasn't processing for so long and he didn't make good decisions and sometimes even weren't safe. I mean, he almost got pickpocketed when we were in Europe and didn't even realize it had happened. So, it's kind of like there's a little bit of trauma there for me that, I'm afraid to let
100%.
him make those decisions, even if it is just what are we going to have for dinner?
So I want to highlight for you that when you say this should be easy, why should it be easy for you to stop eating at night when you are terrified of letting your husband make decisions? Because for a long time, it was dangerous to let him do that. In your mind, why do you think this should be like, I just don't know why I can't just snap to it. Everything's better. Everything's not better yet. It's not like it was. But you're in what we call that messy middle part where it's probably okay to start letting him make decisions. But there was the trust in him being able to do it was broken. Not maliciously, but trust is one of those things that can be broken, even like if Chris had a traumatic brain injury. The trust would be broken for me with him handling data for our business. Now, if he got better and stuff like that, that doesn't mean that I'd just be like, here's all the financials. This is easy. It would be normal to be afraid he's not ready yet. He could mess this up. This is important. And it would eat also. Present itself even in what would logically seem like simple things. That doesn't matter. To your brain, decisions are decisions. Whether you're deciding to eat or you're deciding to sell your house, it treats them the same. It doesn't know. If it thinks something's a threat, it thinks it's just a threat. Our brains don't know how to weigh and measure threats unless we are doing what I'm fixing to do with you. So let's just think about in the evenings, you have decision fatigue. I need to figure out right now, kind of where is your husband at from your logical brain on the scope of decision making? What all can you turn over to him?
I'm trying to turn over even like what we're going to eat for dinner or that I mean something like that.
What if we just work on that one thing where we just examine, is he capable of deciding where y'all eat for dinner or not. So when you think about it, just with your logical brain, is that something that you want to turn over right now?
I do because I just feel like that's just something I don't want to make the decision for all the time. So I am okay with that. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. What is the worst thing that can happen by turning that decision over to him? Like, if he was to royally fuck it up, what happens?
He picks a place I don't like.
Okay,
I
so you
mean,
don't get to eat what you want.
yeah.
Anything
Well,
else?
it takes forever
It takes a long time for the
for
delivery to
them,
come.
or not
Okay.
even the delivery. It's like, you know, it could just be to even make the decision of what we're gonna do. So,
Okay, so it could take a while for him to decide. What else?
I don't know. I really it now I'm thinking I don't want to give that control up.
Okay, that's so good to know. Maybe that's why you keep overeating, because you're telling yourself this should be easy. He should do this. I want him to do this. And you actually don't.
Yeah.
You're not too tired to make a decision. Like, knowing that will help you not be tired in the moment.
Okay.
Being able to tell yourself the truth. I am really tired, but I don't want to wait a long time. I'm not ready to turn this over yet. So
Okay.
knowing that, and knowing you are tired in the evenings, also, what could we do to make all of this easier on you? Because it's not giving it to him, because we already said it could take a long time for him. He may not necessarily be able to pick a place I like. He's not really ready for all that. And I also end the day really tired in my mind. I don't always like making decisions at night. So, what could we do, Amy, to make this a lot simpler for you?
I can plan it out ahead of time, and I do that.
Okay.
I meal plan. I was prepping this morning. I mean, I have meals all ready to go for most of the week, and so, I mean, my logical brain just says, you know, I just plan it out ahead of time, and then I don't have to make those decisions.
So, why? Like you said, my logical brain does that. Why does that not work?
I don't know. I think there's some diet mentality in there too, like with Samantha. I think some of that comes up because I think first of all, I've always prepped. I'm prepping my meals and now they're not fresh. That's like so stupid, but that's what comes up
No, that's
sometimes.
true. I just got through telling you. Did you not listen to our
I
call? I said
know,
I
I
just threw
know.
out two fucking salads so they tasted like fucking ass.
And that's what I mean. So those are the things that come up, but
But if
then.
it's, then let's think about this. The way you're doing it now, you know, one of the problems is there's times I don't want that food. It's not fresh anymore. So now how can we make this very easy on Amy?
That's what comes to mind is that I prepare, you know, I think about it ahead of time and make those decisions. I'm not kind
Right,
of.
but how do we think about what's the day that you usually get sick of your food and it's not fresh and you don't want it?
Friday.
Okay, so could we not prep food for Friday knowing that we're never going to want it anyway?
I do that, and that's when we go out, and then we can't make a decision.
Okay, but today you probably could make a decision about where you'd like to go out to eat on Friday. Where would you like to go next Friday, Amy?
Well, we're tailgating next Friday for a football game, so that
Well,
decision
good. You don't have to decide shit. That's going to be an
right.
easy one,
It is.
right? I mean, nice. The next Friday, where would you like to go out to eat?
I don't know. We have so many places around here that we switch between. So
Why, let me ask you
I
this.
don't.
Why are you having a hard time committing to where you're going to go out to eat and enjoy yourself in 2 Fridays?
Because I'm making it about what I'm eating.
That's what we're supposed to do. How else are we supposed to decide where we're going to eat?
I
Make it
know.
about the cushion in the chair?
But
That ain't why we go out to eat.
but I think that it's also like, I don't know how my week has been and what should I be eating? That's where I think the diet mentality thing is coming in a little bit
But
too.
let's set all that aside. If I said, Amy, if you don't tell me right now where you're going to go 2 Fridays from now, you don't get to eat for 2 weeks.
All right. Then we go to Darby's because that's a place we like to go.
Okay. Now that you know you could go to Darby's in 2 weeks from now, if you decide you don't like Darby's, where else would you like to go?
Oh,
There's another great.
we got
Give
a
me
whole.
one, but I need to know number two. This
Okay.
is what I'm trying to show you.
Oh, okay.
You could make a lot more decisions
Gotcha.
than you think
Okay.
and make your life easier. And this, everybody watch the suffering. I am trying to get Amy to tell me where she would like to go out to eat and enjoy herself in 2 weeks. And she is like, but I've got diet mentality, and I don't know if I should do this, and blah, 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 and I can't decide these things. And like, she is hanging, her claws are dug in like a kitten on an Afghan like jacket.
That's
I'm
exactly
going
right.
nowhere. Like, this is what I was saying. We don't have to suffer with the food because y'all do plenty of emotional suffering. So, what's plan B? You wake up on Friday, you're like, fuck Darby's. Who would want Darby's? I must have been smoking crack when I was talking to Corinne. Where else would you like to go?
Okay, Farmer's Rail.
So, and third choice.
Butcher and Sprout.
Okay. What I'm trying to show you is that making decisions ahead of time doesn't always mean I make this one decision and I better fucking follow it or I did it wrong. It is thinking about, I'm really tired, and I don't have somebody in my life right now who can help me with decision making. And so I am the one that's going to have to help me. I've got to be my best friend. I've got to be my support system. Because right now, I'm not being my best friend and I'm not being my support system. I'm kind of being shitty to myself because I'm telling myself my life should be easy and different, and it's not. And that's not good. So, what I can do is I already know we have a lot of restaurants we like. So, I can prioritize them so that I'm not thinking, like, when you tell me, but we like a, you've said it like 4 times, but we like a lot of restaurants as if that's a problem. And I'm saying, all we got to do is prioritize your favorites. And when the time comes to go eat, you look at number one, and your brain will tell you whether or not you want to go or not. And you look at number two, and your brain will probably say, like, no, I'm not feeling that either. You go to number three, because this version of Amy is prioritizing them probably in the order she likes most for some reason, whether that is the food, proximity, service. We're going to prioritize in a lot of different ways in our head. And then now, tired Amy, who just wants to go out to eat, already has a lot of decisions made. Things are prioritized for her. They're on a little list. They're probably done in an order in which she likes. Now, when she's tired, she can just look at it, scan down, and something will pop, and that's where we're going.
So, how do I apply that during the week? Because I mean I have had a pattern. I can see that where I'm really almost I'm at least snacking when I'm not hungry. Sometimes it's almost a little binge on Fridays and Saturday nights, but I'm doing it during the week too. So I'm still having that issue, like not just on Friday when I'm tired. So it's like when there's other things that are coming up and I'm just tired during the week and I just want to go and snack after dinner, that's where I don't know how to apply that
So,
right now.
how much rest First, let's do this. Let's do a little inventory. How much rest are you? You keep telling me you're tired. Because I just want you to see you have two very conflicting stories. The story you walked in with is life's great, the hard part's over. This shouldn't be a problem. I don't know why this is a problem. So confused. And I was like ready to go down habit lane with you. Like, this is just a habit. This is not a habit. As we've gone further, I'm tired. I have no one that can make decisions. You are emotionally now eating at night. This has nothing to do with a habit. So, first, we've got to figure out if you are tired, how do we either get you some rest or figure this out? Because if you're tired at night and you're needing to snack, we got to figure out, like, is this physical exhaustion? Is this emotional exhaustion? What are you tired of? Like, what is happening?
I think it's a little of both. I'm not unwinding, so I'm staying up later. Like I know I'm physically tired and I'm going in to go to bed, and I'm not, my brain hasn't shut down enough for me to be able to lay down and go to sleep. So I'm scrolling Facebook and things to do that. And I noticed that's been I've been doing that more and more. So I think that I do need, like, just even a half hour longer to sleep, and that helps me. I'm really, I try to get my minimum 7.5 hours sleep. So I really work hard towards that, but I know that it's creeping up later and later. And I think the other part is, I'm just not unwinding when I'm sitting on the couch.
Why are you not unwinding?
I don't
What's in the
know. I mean,
way?
I'm
Well, what is in the way of unwinding right now?
I don't know if it's a list of things that I still have to get done. Like I know that it's worse when I have been at my desk later in the day and I haven't been able to shut down work and walk away. So that it just feels like that's still kind of hanging over my head a little bit.
So I've got two things so far. One is what's in the way of unwinding is my to-do list. Are you doing it instead of unwinding, or are you just sitting there emotionally wearing yourself out? Somebody asked, like, what is emotional tired? Emotional tired would be sitting on the couch, thinking about the to-do list and not doing the to-do list, but thinking you should. It's like, I don't know, you're sitting on your ass on the couch. You probably shouldn't be doing it. Like, thinking I should be doing something when I'm not doing it is emotionally exhausting. And it's not true. Because if there was something on your to-do list that was that important, what do most of us do when something's vitally important?
You get up and do it.
Yeah. Like if you noticed there was a fire in your kitchen and it was on your to-do list to put it out every night, you'd probably get your ass up and do it. If it's a pile of mail that's been sitting there for 30 days and it's just newsletters and leaflets, and you keep thinking, I should go through that, not a fire, and you shouldn't go through it. One day you'll get an ass load and you'll do it. Otherwise, why would you ever burden yourself with emotional exhaustion over it? Because it's not an emergency. So let's take the to-do list.
And I've learned
Are
that
you?
from you. I know how to, I have a list on my desk. I do a different list, for my everyday things too, that are different than work. And I'm really good about, usually, I think I am, about crossing things off so that my brain
I'm
has a.
not asking you to be productive. I want to know. You said the first thing that's getting in the way of unwinding is you sitting on the couch thinking about your to-do list. My question is, are you getting up and doing it? And that's what's keeping you jacked up when you should be resting? Or are you sitting there beating yourself up over your to-do list when you should be sitting there and resting?
That's what I'm doing.
Okay. So that's what we got to work on. That's why you're snacking, because there is science that shows that when you are anxious about something, and when we are sitting there perseverating on something that we're going to not do anything about, I don't think you should be doing that to-do list at night. You've already said, I need more sleep. I am eating and I'm not doing it. So it's obviously a list of things that do not need your attention at night, because I trust if it needed your actual attention, you would do it. You seem like the kind of person who would do it. So we have to sit on the couch. We've got to do the same process I talked to with Samantha. You need to sit there and you need to notice. So one of your big things is when I look and see how I am emotionally like getting ready to eat, I will be on the couch. I will be thinking about a to-do list. I may even get up and go to the kitchen. Like I'll start looking for food. I'll start thinking about food. All of that is a real clear signal that I'm getting worked up with an urge. Like my urge to eat is incoming because I'm anxious about my to-do list. So this is when we sit and we've noticed that. Do you have a feeling that you have when you're on the couch, right before, like when you're thinking about your list before you eat? What kind of emotion is coursing through your veins?
I know I'm antsy.
Antsy. And then do you get fidgety at all? Like when you're
Oh yeah.
antsy? Okay, so you'll know, oh, I know I'm having an urge to eat because I'm antsy. I'm thinking about my to-do list. And then, is there any thoughts that come up during that time about your to-do list or about food that come up? We're talking way before we get off the couch.
Yeah, because my husband is eating then, and I know I've been thinking. One of the things I wrote down the other night was that it's not fair. He can have it and I can't.
So
So
we're not going to combat that thought.
no.
We're not going to change that thought. This is all we're going to do. You have a beautiful map of what it looks like when your body is starting the pattern of, oh, Amy is worried. Amy is getting anxious. Like you probably won't even hear it yet, but your body knows it's happening. And it's going to want to kickstart the habit pattern of, I need to help her. She's supposed to be unwinding. She's supposed to be relaxing right now. She's not doing that. She's actually getting jacked up. So I've got to rescue her. There's a part of you that's just trying to make sure that your need for rest is getting met. And it knows that food does that for you, it turns off the to-do list. So we're going to notice. All right, I'm sitting on the couch. Hubby is eating. And you start narrating. I'm starting to feel antsy. I'm having an urge to eat. It usually is because I worry about my to-do list. I'm thinking he gets to eat and I don't. That's unfair. And I'm okay. And then you can just start telling yourself, I always get important things done. I'm learning that at night, I really need rest and care. And I'm learning a new way to give it to myself. Now, you're gonna have to narrate a lot in your head. This is why I like having like I can sit on the couch and watch TV. And nobody knows I'm doing my thought work. Nobody knows I'm doing my no BS work. It's not taking time out of my day to do it. This is why I always say it doesn't take a lot of time to lose weight. It takes a lot of thinking, don't take a lot of time. So we're going to sit and we're going to take care of ourselves in the new way until our fear that we're not getting enough rest and care feels safe enough to say, okay, I won't ask for food anymore. I see you're taking care of us. I trust you. You're showing me I don't have to ask for food to get this done. And it's going to take a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks of just doing that,
Mm-hmm.
you'll still feel antsy. You're going to feel an up and down. You may have to do it 10 times. You may have to sit with your hand on your heart and watch TV. And every 30 seconds, when your husband grabs another, chip and you hear it, you're going to have to go back to. And we are giving ourselves rest. And I notice I'm antsy again. I notice he's still eating. We're just narrating what's happening in ourselves. That is all you got to do.
Okay.
And I think it'll stop because your eating has signaled, and what you have said is, I'm just tired. And I've been taking care of myself with food through really emotional times. And it makes a lot of sense when my brain's not letting this go right now because it worked and it's still trying to take care of me. And now it's time for me to show my brain, like, hey, I'm prepared to take the job back over. Fear, you don't have to do it anymore. I'll help you. Now, what do you like when I say all that? Do you have any questions or what do you think?
No, I needed that. I mean, I need. I kind of like I do those things all the time, but I don't think I was aware enough to that that's what I needed.
Yeah.
And I really just felt like there was just a piece missing that like I didn't know where to go from there. And I think that might be what helps. I even come home from work and I work out of my house, but I go out and see clients too. And there's times because I drive a lot that I just sit in my car. I just sit. And I know that I'm doing that more and more. So that's why I'm thinking I am tired. I need a way to unwind. I need to not walk in and just have, my second job start again and all of those things, So this feels good to know that I have a point where I can finally stop and do that.
When you're in your car, maybe even try doing some of that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's great that you're sitting in your car. I think that is a sign that your brain knows that it's like, I want to take care of myself in new ways. So much so that I'm sitting in my car and allowing myself to reset a little bit. And maybe if we just add a little talking to ourselves about, like, hey, tonight I'm probably going to want to eat. Because I've been using that as a way to care for myself. Visualize you sitting on the couch and nurturing yourself, not suffering.
Yeah.
Not like most of the times when we imagine not eating at night, we imagine just, hell on earth.
I'm not
Just, yeah, you're like, arr! We want to imagine like we want to imagine a cat in our lap and we're just petting it. It's a nice kitty. Not, like,
It's really a good visual, so thank you.
Yes. So let's try that. Don't
Okay.
even work on enough. Let's just get your entire focus for a few weeks on closing the day with nurturing,
Okay.
with noticing and narrating, being there for yourself, and see if the eating starts tamping down. Do
Okay.
not feel like if the first few times, or maybe you do it a couple of days, then another day it doesn't go well, whatever. Don't see any of that as a failure. I want you to just every time if you eat, I want you to tell yourself, and we're going to try again tomorrow. Today, like my body just wasn't ready yet. No beating yourself up. It's not allowed anymore. Okay. Thank
Thank
you, Amy.
you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Barbara, y'all really came to play today. I don't think it has been a long time since I've had so many of you with your hands raised on a Sunday. I am here for it. What time is it? 11:15. All right. Just need to make sure I'm gonna have to take this jacket off. I'm just burning up at this point. I wasn't going to because I don't know if anybody saw a nipple, but this top is hanging on for dear life at this point. All right, what are we coaching on? Whew.
Well,
This candy challenge is kicking my butt, and it's
Probably
bringing
in the
up.
best way, even though you think it's bad.
Yeah, well, I'm not
If you're
sure.
overeating, then it's absolutely doing its job.
Yeah,
Tell me
maybe.
how over. No, it's not a maybe. Corinne never did put the ch candy challenge out there to see everybody do it in perfection.
Oh, I know.
I threw y'all into the fire because you need to see where the fuck your diet mentality is and where your emotional eats are. Because a lot of y'all are skirting around the issue. But today we throw out a candy challenge and I've got like 40 people with their hand raised. Because now all of a sudden everybody's like, oh my God, I'm actually doing something in no BS. And guess what? I'm finding that some stuff.
I'm just remembering that in. I usually listen to you when I'm at the gym, and so I joined in June. So I've gone back searching for previous coachings and 365s, and at some point you were talking about ice cream, I think, which is my nemesis. Yeah, I'd like to make it my friend.
It already
And
is
you
your
were
friend.
and you
Like
were
your
saying
ice cream is actually your friend right now.
at a certain point that you just weren't ready to have it in the house yet. Am I misremembering?
No, you're remembering just
Okay,
fine.
so I'm wondering if that's where I am or
Well,
not.
let's find out. So,
Okay.
what's going on? Like, why have you decided that ice cream is a nemesis? Because I guarantee you, nobody eats food that is their enemy. You know what my enemy food is?
What?
Something that tastes like fucking shit. That's my enemy.
Yeah.
Good tasting food is not an enemy. Most of the time, good tasting food is either your friend because it tastes really good, or it's your friend because it's doing something for you that
Yeah.
you're unwilling to do for yourself right now. And food is
Mostly the
like, well,
second one.
exactly.
Yeah.
So we just got to figure out what you're unwilling to do for yourself right now. And let's fix that before we rush to taking ice cream out of the house. For me, the reason why I took ice cream out of the house was because I was very willing to do the things I needed to do for myself. I didn't like the error that happens when we take food out of the house for most of you is you remove the food, but you don't fix what you were eating over. And you think you fixed your problem because, well, if I
Well,
can't get access to the food, exactly. So it's fine if you identify why you're eating your ice cream and you're like, I'm taking that out of the house because I am fixing to go head first into the real problem. Because it's never the ice cream. The ice cream has been my friend when I haven't been my friend. So tell me what you want to tell me about your ice cream after you hear all that.
It's been my go-to for years. I mean, sometimes it's salty snacks when I want to avoid my emotions, but in the
Which
main,
emotions?
sadness mostly.
Over what?
Well, I deal off and on for years with some depression, so there's that. But I think sadness that I don't enjoy my life more. It looks good from the outside, I always say I have everything I need and many things that I want, but I've never felt like I was good enough at my various jobs.
Okay.
And so then that dampens enjoyment of life, and so partly I'm eating to try and smother those feelings of not being good enough.
No, you're trying to add joy to your life.
Can't both be true at different times?
Could be. I mean, the reason why you're not enjoying your life could be because you don't allow yourself to enjoy your life because you don't think you deserve it. Or, but, somebody who doesn't feel like they're good enough, people who aren't good enough usually don't deserve things. If you had, like, there's no better trigger for not good enoughness than to have a good life.
How
Because if
so?
you're not good enough, not good enough people don't deserve good things. And when you have a lot of good things around you, you're constantly being pelted with triggers of you're not good enough. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. My fear, if you take the ice cream out of your house, is you're going to remove the one thing that's given you some joy. Because when you look around at your life, those things aren't doing it. And when we take ice cream away, your sadness, unless we work on it, is going to exponentially grow.
Well, it certainly becomes something I have to address more directly.
I would say so. How can, like,
But
go ahead. Tell me what you want to tell me.
I want to tell you the pattern that's come back
Perfect.
with the ice cream. First, I had some really crappy numbers on my blood panel in June. And so, first two things I thought of to improve them was to significantly cut back but not eliminate ice cream. Because, 4 to 7 pints a week is not ideal.
I
But,
don't, to me, the ice cream is the most irrelevant thing you're talking about.
okay,
But if you want to
okay,
keep telling me about your ice
okay.
cream, I'm here for it and will listen to you. But I love how you want to keep going back to my blood panel and ice cream
Well,
and how much I'm eating. And it's like,
it's
we're sitting over
true.
here saying, I'm not good enough. And no matter how much I have in my life, I can't enjoy it. But you're like, but the real fire is this ice cream I'm eating. I'm like, that is
It,
toast in a toaster burning, and over here, somebody is an arsonist burning down your house, and you're like, I think the toast is burning. Can we just go over there and fix that
right.
toaster real quick?
I surrender. So the decades-long pattern then is to eat ice cream because, as you say, I don't have enough pleasure in my life.
Okay.
And I agree to the pleasure part. But I will. So what I did with the candy challenge, I thought, well, I want that creaminess of the ice cream. But I found these little, I don't know if you know, there's these Yasso bars that are frozen Greek yogurt. Well, I found they had little puppables, so individual portions, I figured, right? And they had the creaminess. And so I started about a week before the official start. And the first day I had one, and then I thought, well, maybe for me too is going to be better. So I did that, and then I ate a whole bag. Now, I looked at the bag afterwards, and it said serving size, one bag. I thought, no. But I did that, and I had a second package in the freezer, and I thought, I can't do this. So I threw them in the garbage so they would melt.
That's not a
And
problem. But again, you're going back to the ice cream.
I know.
You're telling me so many details about the ice cream and nothing about why you feel like you have an amazing life and it brings you sadness.
Well, I seem to go from doing a task that has to be done during the day to then like 2 to 3 hours of watching TV, and it's like that's my reward. And so then sometimes I eat while I'm doing that. Not
But
as
why?
much.
But so tell me, is watching TV causing a problem? mean, you got something done and you go watch TV. Why did you bring that up as if that's like a problem?
Because it seems like that is what I do 99% of the time. I do something that has to be done, like practice the piano, because I was an accompanist for decades and I have just finally. Partly I'm having an identity crisis, Corinne. I re retired from teaching music in elementary schools in 2014, but I've had an 11-year phased retirement of letting go of choirs I played for and private students and a class at the university. And it's like, now what?
Now
So.
you've earned the right to watch TV and you're beating yourself up over it.
Because I think I don't want to eliminate that.
No, I don't want you to
But
eliminate it either. I want you to watch it and enjoy it, not watch it and eat because you're being hard on yourself for doing it. If I had to guess, we coached on this yesterday. Retire, like going from someone who does a lot of things or is in a job and all this other stuff, it is an identity crisis. You're letting go of the version of you that needed to produce all the time, who was
right.
supposed to be busy and stuff. You're now a person who's like, wow, I get to watch TV. All I have to do is just practice piano. I don't have anything else I have to do anymore.
Don't even
I love
have to do
that I worked
that.
so hard for all those years. Do I?
Don't even have to do that anymore because I finally dropped my last choir.
So you could potentially, if you wanted to, tell me what comes up for you when I say this. You're going to get up tomorrow, eat breakfast, you're going to watch as much TV as you want, and there's no one in the world that's going to give a damn. Unless there's something that I don't know that you really need to be doing, that's like actually like, no, I still have to do these things. And they're like legit have to's. Like, I have to come to this call. If I was to like send everybody an email and said, you know what, y'all, I worked really hard this week. I had four in-persons. I've decided to take the day off and watch TV all day. Good luck with your diet. That wouldn't fly. But when I'm done with all these calls, I've got plenty of things I could do in work. Do you know what I'll be doing? Heading straight to the bar to watch football. And I won't feel guilty at all. And it ain't because I work today. Because I used to feel guilty for going when I still had a to-do list.
But you
I don't
really
do.
enjoy watching the football.
I
Most of
also watch News and
the
Bloomberg, and
I'm just watching.
I watch Rick's Gold Coins, which is an infomercial on Bloomberg on the weekends that is so dumb. But I watch it and I'm always like, should get one of them coins. I watch mindless stuff too.
I think what bothers me about
Tell me what
watching,
bought this is what I want to know because it ain't about the TV show.
right. It's because I want other forms of pleasure in my life.
Yeah, and this is what the problem with identity crises are. I wish I had my notes. I'm going to be doing some stuff around identity crisis because so many of you are going through them. Is the first thing we have to do is define who you think you are right now. And when we're having an identity crisis, you're stuck in the mindset of thinking you probably still need to have things to do. You know, it's like if you were to write and describe who am I operating as today, you're not operating as someone who's retired. You're actually subconsciously operating as if you still have jobs and obligations and things like that. Otherwise, you don't feel guilty for doing these things, or you don't feel lost that you have nothing. So that's a clear signal that we haven't what do what we need to do, which is when you have a radical change in your life, whether you become a mother, your kids leave the house, you retire, there's these big inflection points that go on in life. You have to define now, who am I today?
Yeah.
This version of me, these are the new expectations. They're not these anymore. But because your brain only knows those, it kind of wants to keep going back there. And it's impossible. So it finds bullshit, like ice cream. It's like, well, if you won't like give me things to do or whatever, like you redefine where we are now, I've got to band-aid this until you either figure it out and you get more joy in your life, or I will be your joy until you weigh, 1,000 pounds.
Then I go on reality TV, so you know.
Girl, now I can watch me some reality TV. Don't let's not even go there. Right.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be
I watch
glad.
the most amount of trash of anyone. So don't y'all all come in here acting like your TV stuff is. No one can argue with me that TV time is wasted time. For me, TV, especially when you're watching Rick's Coins. Y'all just need to watch Rick's Coins one time. Go to YouTube. You will see that that is the bottom of the barrel. If anybody was going to feel shame, that's the show. And I don't feel shame about it. I feel like TV is a gift that I give myself because I do it guilt-free and I do it freely. Because I have times when I don't want to think. I have times when I want to watch something ridiculous. So, like, the more ridiculous, cheap, and stupid it is, the more engaged I am, the more I'm not thinking about the other parts of my life. For me, TV's a really good way of like turning some shit off and giving myself some self-care. Now, but for you said something really interesting. I just don't have pleasure in my life. So what is it going to take to get you some pleasure? Because that's what the ice cream is doing for you right now. And you, I want you to see this connection. You just throwing ice cream out and saying, I can't have you around me anymore. If we don't add real pleasure in your life, you will find it in another way. You will find something else to eat, or your happy ass will just go back to the grocery store and buy it.
Right.
Might be able to do it for a week or two, but then your brain is like, I can't suffer anymore. And it will say, I bet you can handle one pint. Let's just get one pint. It'll talk you into it. So, this is my question for you. What do you think would be most helpful, knowing you're in this stage of life, to add things in that you've never been able to do before? Maybe you need to go find you some hobbies or whatever so that you can get some pleasure. Do you feel more leaning that way? Or do you really need to find pleasure in the life you have? Cut yourself some slack. Not like be free to stop judging yourself for what you're filling your time with until you figure it out.
Well, I'm excellent at judging myself, so it would be good to decrease that. And I've been working on it for a long time, but I do need to consciously add something, you know. And I
What's
am
that?
learning a new instrument, and that's fun. So I'm still a musician because that's something I always am. I'm a musician. And I've promised myself I'm never going to perform on this instrument. I just want it for me.
Something
But
for you for fun.
yeah.
But what? What was the but about?
I say bud?
Right at the end.
Oh, but I think, well, I believe there's got to be something else because that's still practicing, even though it's for myself. Like,
That's
even
very
though,
different than the way you did it. It just seems
oh,
the same, but
I
this is your brain. But
know.
even when you say that, your brain is trying to make them the same when they're not. That's where, in like when you said, like, I have, when you look at my life, I should be enjoying it. But when your brain is saying, like, well, now this resembles old school work, that prevents joy. That's where, like, I would do right before you go into practice, I would just sit with myself and I would say, this is just for me. I'm not going to perform. I'm giving myself this because this is pleasurable for me. I like music. I'm finally doing something only for me. And I would maybe even say that about your TV. Like when you sit down and watch television, would say, this is for me. I like TV. Sometimes I judge myself for it. Would you be open to just quickly talking to your judgment? And if you're not up for it emotionally, we do not have to. And you could even come back another time and do it, but I would be curious what the judgment's doing for you. All things inside of us, even the parts we feel like are the ugliest, like, I'm, got this overactive judgment piece. They're always doing something for us.
No, not right now. This is a leap forward to allow myself to be on camera coaching.
Okay.
It's a step too far.
That's fine. Do you do any journaling at
Sorry.
all? Do you do any journaling at all?
I am so journaling resistant, you wouldn't believe it. I thought maybe I could do just verbal journaling.
You can do verbal
But
journaling. There's an app called, it's very helpful. It's called Whisper. It's, I think it's W, I'm gonna misspell this. I think
they
it's WISPR. Let me look. I've got the fucking app on my phone. I don't know why I'm over here trying to remember it like a goofball.
Because why would they spell it the regular way?
To make it different, because there's actually different ones out there. It's
Yeah.
called Whisper Flow, WISPR. It's also trademarkable if you really want to know why they do that.
Yeah.
You can trademark weird words and get it trademarked. But if it's like Whisper, it's too common. So the United States, they won't trademark you.
Yeah.
That's the technical. That's why we come up with weird words for our stuff when we want to trademark or copyright.
Yeah.
So it's called
Do
Whisper Flow.
flow. Okay.
Whisper Flow. You'll download it on your phone and it will go across. If you have, do you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
So if you have like a computer also, and if you have like a iPad, it
Yeah.
will go across all your devices.
Oh, good.
The beautiful thing about it is, like, if you open a notes document or you open a Pages document or a text, an email, it does not matter where you are on the internet, like ChatGPT, you hit a button and you just talk. And Whisper takes what you say and it turns it into the actual sentences that you said with grammar correction. It paragraphs things. It knows how to bullet. It knows how to make numbers. Like if I change gears in mid-sentence because I wanted to say something else, it knows how to autocorrect all of it. So what you get at the end is a much better reflection of what you were saying.
I like that.
I love it. That's how I write all y'all's content now. It's like I'm writing y'all's content. I have like things that'll interview me. Like I have scripts that get interviewed. And so I just hit Whisper and I just talk that shit like I'm teaching y'all. And then I organize all my ideas. And then that's how I create courses and stuff like that. It is
Yeah.
a lifesaver.
Well,
So
checking
it
it
has a,
out.
yeah, and it's got a free version. The paid version, I think, is $20 a month. But the free version, you get quite a few words before you run out. So what I was going to say is I've got one powerful question that you can start with. What is judgment doing for me? So judgment helps you in
Yeah,
some way, and
I've
it's going to
asked
take some time.
myself that. I think I need to keep asking, probably.
So very often, judgment's job in our life is it's found different areas of our life where it likes to pop up because it thinks it keeps you safe, or it keeps you on track, or it keeps you doing things the right way, or it gets you where you want to go. So like ju my judgment voice comes in especially because it if I'm judging myself for taking a break, I'm not the kind of person that'll go eat. I'm the kind of person who will just work harder and harder and harder and harder. So I have to watch my judgment voice because sometimes I'm like, what are you here for? I do this all the time. And I like to picture my judgment. It has like a face, or some people like to do an inanimate object. Everybody can do it a different way. I always picture my mother's face. My mother was hard on me. She loved me. My mom's great, but my mom was really hard on me because she was very afraid that I would go down the same road she would. She did not want me to be a single mama at 17. She wanted me to go to college. She wanted me to basically not make her mistakes. And so she was hard on me. And so a lot of times I'll say, well, I think judgment might be here because it's afraid that if I'm not working hard, I'll lose everything. And when I get that clarity, that's when I can say, it is okay. I know how to keep us safe. I know how to work. I also know when not to work. I have to do that work all the time. If I'm not listening for it, then I'm just operating. And I think for you, it's like just for the next few weeks, whenever you're judging yourself, like around TV or ice cream or whatever it is, like, not doing things, whatever it could be, just feel like, I wonder why judgment is coming up in this moment. What does it think I'm doing wrong? What is it afraid will happen if I was nice to myself in this moment? That's a really good question for judgers. Like Susan, if you're still listening, she said she often doesn't feel deserving and she doesn't know how to be compassionate. Like it's really hard for her to be compassionate.
Same.
Yeah. And in those moments, a lot of times it's like, well, if I wasn't hard on you, you wouldn't do this. That's why a lot of you try to be hard on yourselves to lose weight. It's like, well, if I'm not hard on myself, wouldn't I just eat anything I want? I'm like, I don't know. It looks like you're eating anything you want because you're being hard on yourself. Always tell people if being hard on ourselves worked in weight loss, every one of us would be really thin by now. We would need a cheeseburger at this point because that's how thin we would be. So
Yeah, it
I
has.
always go ahead. You go ahead.
No, it's not that so much for me as having a mom who is very judgmental. It's like my dad died when I was 12, and I remember I didn't think it consciously at the time, but I knew I was never going to be a problem for her. I was going to be an easy thing in her life.
Yeah.
And also, we kids in a small town were just sort of expected to get A's. I don't ever remember her beating on me, verbally for getting a B. But yeah, I wasn't going to cause her any problems, so I had to do the right things. I had to be good.
Yeah, so you when you feel like it's this is like one of those trauma things. You suffered a trauma losing your father young, and a young mind could easily take the way a teacher talked to you in one grade. In that moment, it could have been like your kindergartner teacher, it could have been a PE teacher, it could have been you saw someone at a grocery store checking people out, and the manager came over and was really hard on them, and then they worked faster. Child minds absorb a lot. And they make connections. And a lot of times we don't even know where they came from. So probably for you, it felt in your childlike mind really dangerous to put any more burdens on your mother. And so you probably started right there with, I've got to make myself be good, even when I don't want to, because I can't put this on my mom. And that voice got developed there.
I
And
believe
so it's just still being used. And now that you're retired, it probably worked really well for you most of your life. Wasn't fun, but you had an amazing musical career.
I did.
Like, just think, when you say, I look around and look at all this amazing shit, why am I not enjoying it? It's because judgment probably thinks this is good, but we can't lose it. And the only way I honestly know how to keep you being good to not lose things is I have to keep on your ass. I've been doing it for years and look at what all we've gotten. Why would I go away? You'll die without me. That's how our feelings work. So your feelings aren't out to get you. They are always there to support you.
You're right.
Every single time, even if it's illogical. So I think for you, talk to judgment. If you want to do it out loud, if you want to do it in your head, does not matter. If you want to journal, but I think sometimes getting things down on some paper or digitally, where you can look back over a few weeks of like, what are all the things that I said over a few weeks of just asking myself this question? Then you can look at it with your brain and you can see if you see any patterns. You can see if you see any shifts. You might just naturally start changing.
Over the years, I have gotten better at talking back to it. I have a lot of room for growth in that area.
Do you talk back to it? Like, very often, if we have a judgment voice, we talk back to it the exact way it talks to us. It's like if judgment is hard on you, you're hard on judgment. Like, that's not true. You shouldn't be here. Like we kind of henpeck it.
It's usually more like, I know you're trying to help me, but this isn't helpful anymore, so go play.
I just want you to think about this. It thinks it's a life or death situation, and you're like, you're not helpful, get out.
In a playful way.
But I want you to hear the underlying tone is you're dismissing it. You're not listening to it. Like, why are you here for me? For is the key word in that phrase. I know you're here for me, or you wouldn't be here at all. Because fear loves to go away when it's not needed. It loves to stay when it feels like you need it. So we want to ask it and talk to it and say, like, why are you here for me? And then it'll tell you some things. And that's when you're able to say, like, okay, I don't need you to go outside and play. Here's what I really need you to do. I need you to know I'm ready to take the reins. I'm ready to meet these needs now. And so, what I would like for you to do is walk beside me. You can be here. You can watch me take care of us now. You can speak up anytime you're afraid I might be doing it wrong. I would love to hear from you because if I am, I'd like to know that. But if I'm not, I'd like to show you that I'm learning how to take care of us now. And then at some point, fear will say, can I go out and play? And that's a lovely conversation to have. Yes. Why don't you go enjoy yourself? Because I'm enjoying myself now. We're okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give that a try.
Really try that.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to ice cream real quick.
I thought we banned that topic.
Now, we banned it until we got through the important stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what I want you to do is I want you to think about what would feel best to you. Do you want to keep the ice cream or would you like to take it out of the house because there's no wrong decision?
Aren't I supposed to be teaching myself that it's not my enemy?
We already did that just now. We already called out what the real problem is. We never had an enemy. We had a feeling that was desperately trying to get your attention, that it wants to feel better, that it wants you to enjoy your life, that it wants you to be able to enjoy the things that you've worked so hard for. And you've been saying, go outside and play, and while you're at it, take the ice cream with you. So now that we, this is the reason why I didn't want to focus on the ice cream. This is why I didn't want you to take the
Yeah.
ice cream out. Your headspace wasn't ready to do that. You were doing it from fear and judgment. You weren't taking ice cream out from logic and clarity. So what I would love for you to do now is just do me one favor. This is not a big emotional lift, I promise you, but close your eyes. I'm not going to dig in your soul. I'm not even going near your soul. So close your eyes real quick. And I just want you to take two deep breaths. So we want to kind of clear out some of all this emotional energy we just processed. And I'm going to say two sentences, one at a time. And I just want you to pay attention to your body. And once I say the sentence, I want you to tell me any sensations inside of your body, not any thoughts in your head, sensations in your body that you feel. Sentence one. Let's take the ice cream out for a few weeks. What did you notice that happened in your body? And it can be little or big.
It's a lump in my throat, some tightness there, some
Okay.
emotion, I
Here's
guess.
this. Here's the second one. So take a big deep breath. So we can kind of reset just a little bit. Let's keep the ice cream in the house for the next few weeks. What did you notice?
I didn't have that lump in my throat. I felt kind of tingly, some general tingliness.
Okay, that's good.
Don't know what that's about, but.
It's your body always has the feelings wisdom. So feelings are very chemical. So fear, excitement, anything like that, your brain sends out chemicals through your body and we feel feelings in our body. We think we feel feelings by eating. What actually happens is the brain releases adrenaline, cortisol, different things like that. And whether it's relief, happiness, sad, joy, whatever it is, sadness, body sensations are felt, which means that when we want to make a decision from our feelings and not our head, because our head can get cloudy sometimes, we do it this way because all of the feelings that we've been having are now inside our body, and our body will express an answer that it wants when our head can't decide. So I would say that if you had a lump in your throat and a tightness, that is your body saying, I'm not ready for that.
But that was for I want to take the ice cream out of the house.
Right. I'm not ready for that. No, that the first one was I'm going to keep it. Which one was? Oh, I'm going to take it out. So you're not ready to take it out of the house. I think you're ready to keep it. That doesn't mean you won't overeat it. I think your body is signaling, I don't feel safe enough to let that go right now. I'm going to need to do all this together. And sometimes I might need to eat some ice cream. Sometimes I might just want a little bit of it. Sometimes I might want the whole pint.
That's
But
funny because
while you do what?
I expected it to be the opposite. But
Right. Our,
our
and
feelings,
I would think that your brain expected that because it wants to, it's thinking intellectually. It's not thinking about what keeps you safe. Intellectually, take the ice cream out, lose weight, get them lipids. Come on, you're an overeater. Like that's kind of the voice that speaks that. Your body is saying, hey, I know you don't have a lot of pleasure right now. I know you're getting ready to do this judgment work with Corinne. I would feel better if you had the ice cream in the house, is what your body is saying. Your job now is to do the work I'm asking you to do, is to notice and narrate what's going on for you, to ask the question, why is judgment here for me? Is to do that and see if the relationship with ice cream doesn't change.
Okay.
Ice cream's been trying to compensate. I'm asking you now to do the work ice cream's been doing. So ice cream can just be ice cream and it doesn't have to compensate anymore. Okay.
That would be nice. That would be more than nice. Yeah, thank you.
And you have my absolute permission that if in a few days or whatever, if you don't like keeping that ice cream in, take it out. But please try what I'm asking you to do, no matter what you do.
Okay.
That's your ticket to feeling better.
Okay.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
You're welcome. Bye. What time we got? Oh, we're already at 12 o'clock. Shit. Sorry. I was like, oh my God, time has really flown by today. All right. Let's
Trying to
see.
take myself.
I got you. All right. Let me go to the Q&A because it's jacked. And then we have another call today. Let me remind myself what it is. Calendar Sunday. Reains. Y'all are up at looks like 12:30. So at 12:30, I will be back. So anybody who wants to be here can be here. But if you need regain help, that's the call you come to, and then we're going to be coaching on that. I want to start putting a scoop of protein powder in my coffee, but not sure if I should wait until I am actually hungry to have my protein coffee, or is it okay to have it first thing in the morning? It's fine. A scoop of protein powder, for fuck's sake, y'all, is not a big deal. That is such a healthy choice. That is such a good decision. So please don't worry about that. Asking because if I were to have a protein shake, I would wait until hungry, and this may throw off my hunger signals in the morning, but possibly even hold me over to a lunch. Here's what I would say, Marlene. It could hold you over to lunch, but a scoop of protein powder is like 90 to 120 calories. That is, Corinne would eat her cat if the cat walked by. If that's all I was doing. For some reason, y'all like to eat as if y'all are, I don't even know, hummingbirds in the morning, and then y'all eat like a fucking elephant at night. I think it's because y'all do such little eating in the mornings. But that's fine. There's like, for everyone here, don't get tripped up over little details like protein powder and things. If you're still emotionally eating, keep the focus there. Do something healthy like this and feel confident that good, sound nutritional choices always make sense. What doesn't make sense is pile driving ice cream at night because I judge the fuck out of myself all day long for watching TV. Like, let's make sure that we are addressing that piece. I did well with low carb and anti-candida diet, left them behind to explore intuitive eating. Since starting intuitive, I have steadily gained weight. So my evidence, despite not wanting diet mentality, is that I am heavier when I move away from a diet. I, of course, am not eating till enough, so I am not doing this properly. So here's what we know. Catherine, if you're not eating to enough, you're just overeating and wondering why that doesn't work. Your brain is trying to say low carb and anti-candida works better than intuitive eating. You don't know. You're not doing intuitive eating yet. You're doing overeating. Let's try intuitive eating. Intuitive eating is one guided by our body, but they're missing the part where we stop it enough because now we got to figure out why you don't do that. Where's the emotional part coming in that you're not working on? Or you're haven't worked on enough now to get to where stopping it enough is possible. So just watch where your mind is trying to say, intuitive eating, like doing it this way doesn't work. It's like, no, I don't know if it works until I work on all these emotional reasons why I'm overeating. When I did anti-candida and I did low carb, they didn't fix the real problems. Otherwise, I would have just been happily living over there and nobody else would have never gotten on my landscape. I promise all of you, if your other diets were at, when y'all say those worked, this doesn't, it's like, no. Those didn't work because they weren't either sustainable. You didn't like them. They had too much suffering, whatever was happening with those. So those didn't work. They may have gotten some pounds off, but it couldn't keep them off. It didn't address my emotional eating. It left vast holes, and I had to fill them with ding dongs and donuts. Over here, we can't say something doesn't work until we plug those holes. Once we do that, you will know it does work. How much protein and fiber should I aim for in a day as a 60-year-old girl? I don't know. What I look like, doctor? That is something I would for sure Google. When it comes to protein, I always say, like, however much I weigh, you can either eat a pound, a pound, you can eat a gram of protein for every pound you are, or you can eat, and that's going to be a lot for some of you. That would be like if you weigh 500 pounds, it'd be 500. You don't need 500. But I'm real into bodybuilding. So for somebody like me, I'm a pound. I don't know why I keep saying that. I am a gram per pound. Most people can do 0.08 times their goal weight. And that is the amount of grams. If you want just something easy, use 0.08 times your goal weight, and that will get you plenty. So, like, let's say your goal weight is 150. Look at Corinne. She's going to do some math, and everybody's going to be astounded. Well, hell, I did the math wrong. That can't be true. It's 12. 0.8. Let's try 0.8. 120. It's 0.8, not 0.08. 120 grams a day. Fiber, I don't really know. I would just look it up. I am sure whatever the governmental standards are. Yes, 0.8 to 1 gram per goal weight in pounds, 25 grams or more fiber. Everybody should probably just listen to Christy Larson at this point. Give her a shout out like every call, but I trust Christy and she's like a pharmacist and she's a holistic. I think, aren't you a, can you tell me what you are, Christy? Is it holistic nutritionist? If you just put it in the chat, but that's where you want to get to. And then for all of you, if you can't do 0.8, it for functional nutritionists. Yes, thank you. If you can't get to 0.8 right now, like if 120 just seems like a lot for you, which 120 grams of protein, y'all, is not a lot of calories. I think we make it out in our heads to be a ton. It's 400 total, 480 calories a day. That is not a lot. On the landscape of how much food we get to eat in a day. Now, if you can't get there right now, start with like 0.5, get used to that. Then go to 0.6, get used to that. If you bump it up a little bit over the course of, 6 weeks, you're at your goal. That is an easy way to like stair step yourself into it. And then I always just tell people if you have like a attitude about protein, prioritize your protein first when you eat, then eat whatever you want after that. But eat the protein first. That's the way I do it. When I eat my dinner, I happen to like protein, but I still, to make sure that I get it, I just eat it first. Or I eat it along with other things, knowing that the protein has to get off the plate. And then if I get to enough, whatever's left, I just leave that. And most of the time, because I've done this long enough, and you will too, when you are losing weight, you will get really good at knowing visually about how much it takes for you to eat to where you reach enough. And when you do that, all you got to do is start serving yourself that much. And then you just lose weight. And then if you ever get to where you stall, you kind of back the truck up again and you just like reevaluate your enough. And you do that for a little bit. Eventually, you know, like it takes you, because you've done it the first time, it will take you about 3 days to notice about how much your servings are. They usually go down in micro amounts. Okay. All right. Yes, Marcy said, be careful if you have any kidney issues. Please speak to your doctor about protein. Yeah, if you have kidney issues, but even people with kidney issues, like, you know, it most people, even dudes, have bone and muscle issues because they are not eating near enough protein. We guard against, for some reason, eating protein when it's one of the most valuable macronutrients we have. All of them are important, but protein is really important for women. You don't need to overdose on it. You don't have to overdose on it. It's not going to help. But if you did have, if you are on dialysis or you've got some kind of kidney problems, you'll want to check with your doctor and ask them what range should you be in. That is a really good suggestion. But if you don't have any kidney issues, most people are definitely under eating it, I would guess. Most women tend to under eat protein. Even my husband, I get onto him all the time. I don't think he eats enough protein. I'm like, Chris, I watch your ass. You barely can bend over. You got the tight ass hamstrings. Like, I am not picking your ass up, even though I could deadlift you. I do not want to be hauling your ass off a toilet and out of the bed when we are 80 years old because you didn't eat enough protein and you didn't lift weights. I'm constantly telling him, save me, because I don't want to do that. I want to go to the gym. I don't want you to be my gym. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all at 12:30 for anybody who's coming back for regains. Bye, y'all.